Hey, everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And can I get a pat on the back at least for the pearl necklace?
You are the worst sexual person in the world.
The worst sexual person.
Is my favorite line, my new favorite line from this show.
Go ask my ex-boyfriend. Fucker. Fuck you 100 times.
Also, as usual, Gino didn't have an orgasm because he gets tired and out of breath.
Yeah.
These two are fucking fantastic casting. I don't care what anybody says. They are such a shit show every week. And they really just hurl insults at each other. You know? So it's so bad.
I have a good morning. I have the meat that you want.
When
and then she goes, yeah, he took a blue pill, but he couldn't come because he got tired. Great. Thank you for informing the whole country. Appreciate that. It's great.
Oh, it's so funny. I just love it so much. Like, they have the most absurd fights. The comebacks are so bad. They're hilarious. It was great. The whole fight was great.
If you're Gino, you have to be doing push-ups every day to prepare for this trip. Come on, man.
Right? I also love that Jasmine has counted the number of times they have had sex in their 2.5-year relationship. And last night was number 7. It's kind of wild.
None of those actually resulted in completion.
Nope. He's got to go to the bathroom. But, you know, it doesn't matter because now it's over. And from the bottom of my heart, fuck you 1,000 times over. I think she's not keen on the prenup, Kyle. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that she's really close to accepting it, you know?
Yeah, she might come around.
She's going to get the highest level of financial protection.
Yeah, don't worry. Gino's going to fix it because he wrote down some notes in Sharpie on a piece of paper that says that guarantees Jasmine's going to get maximum financial protection unless she cheats.
He wrote it down. This napkin is a binding legal document. Okay. And if I have to duct tape it back together, then it's even stronger than before.
Even stronger. He has a picture of it. Don't worry. Nothing's been locked.
That'll hold up in court.
I also like Amanda somehow gets more boring.
It's amazing. It's actually incredible to watch someone becoming more boring before your very eyes, isn't it?
I've told him 5 times, I don't eat shrimp. How can he not remember? Because your dietary restrictions are fucking boring and nobody cares.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody cares about your diet. Nobody
cares. It's funny. Like, if you list all the things that she said in this episode that she wasn't eating, none of them are like unreasonable. Tons of people don't eat dairy. I've had to cut back on dairy because I'm fucking fat. And like GMO, fine. You know, sure. Right.
Which you're in shellfish. Europe, by the way. Nothing's GMO.
Millions of people don't eat shellfish around the world. Yeah. Fine. Packaged foods. Okay. You want to be like more natural and healthy. Get that. But you don't live in the same country as him. This shit doesn't come up organically in conversation. And to get mad at him for not remembering the whole list is so stupid. Like,
it's so dumb.
Like, do you think that he's taking notes when you have video chat conversations? No, she's looking at his abs. So I guarantee you she doesn't remember a goddamn thing that he's ever said about himself.
She's the pancake king. When she ate the pancake, after I found out she was a picky eater, I was blown away that she had eaten the pancake because, like, definitely gluten's on that list, right?
It has been at some point, for sure.
At some point. I just, like, Amanda talks to Razvan like I talk to my 8th grade boyfriend. you know, like, well, right. I told you what I don't like. And then I guess you make your own decision and I'll just be pissed off when you do what I told you not to do. But I'm not going to tell you not to do it. Shut up.
You know what makes her an insanely boring person is any scenario that they walk into. She does this thing where she immediately thinks of the worst possible outcome, yes, and then whines about it to him. For example, walking into the park, you're in a goddamn park.
What if they poop on me?
Okay. What if a piano falls out of a plane and hits you in the face? Like, I don't know. Who fucking cares? Should we not go to the park? Should we remain indoors at all times?
What if they're vampire bats? It's creeping me out.
Okay. It's the middle of the day in a park. Shut the fuck up.
Fucking survive. She's so boring. Can you imagine being friends with this person? Absolutely insufferable.
How do I like this fucking guy more every week? How is it happening? How is it possible?
We literally are on the side of the TikTok fuckboy. That's how bad it is. Who spreads
chocolate on his six pack for thirst clicks. That's better than her.
Hey, he makes $2,000 a month doing it. I support it.
I can't. I fucking can't.
Oh, God. I still like him more. I like him more. I did think overall, though, this is a good episode. I laughed a lot. We get to meet a new cast member or two, I guess, Cleo and Christian, both. And just the Nicola Misha situation. There's a lot to say. The Gino and Jasmine fights were a highlight. I don't like the way that they're approaching the Cleo storyline.
Not at all.
This is why it's so disappointing. Like, if you tell me, oh, Matt Sharp's going to have a trans cast member on one of his shows, I immediately expect the worst. However, last season we saw Gabe, and I think it was handled really well. And like, we were surprised. Everybody was really into that storyline. And you know, it was because like, it felt really genuine. And I don't know what they're doing here with like, I feel like production is steering Cleo in this, you know, I don't know if they're like leading Christian to, it's really cringy.
You know what this feels like? This feels, I don't even remember the dudes. Oh, this feels identical to Caleb and Alina to me.
Oh, you're so right.
Like, you have a fuck boy who at first appears like kind of douchey, but whatever. I mean, there's worse guys out there.
Yeah.
And then they're hooked up with someone and it just feels really odd that they would be together, but okay, I'm going to go with it. And then TLC just makes this a total dumpster fire and does like everything wrong. But also, you know, this happens every single time. Whenever they have, you know, someone outside of the main, I don't even know how to say it, but like someone that's like, I'll just use examples. Kenny and Armando, first gay couple on the franchise. Awesome. Everyone else after that, total clown show dumpster fire, right? Of course. First trans person, Gabe. Awesome. Great. In fact, like everyone on the show is respectful about it.
Yeah.
You learn some stuff. You know, Gabe is not like some perfect person and he's not portrayed that way at the tell all. I thought he was kind of annoying, but he's a human being and it's portrayed pretty fairly. And I think that I feel like we learned stuff, right? And it's every single time, it's the second person in that category they have on is a disaster. Now, I don't feel like we know enough about Cleo to like make some kind of judgment or anything like that at all. In fact, I think I actually probably have a take on this astrology stuff that people are going to find surprising, but it's more the production, right?
Yes.
I fucking I fucking hate this. Like, we're going to add horrible screeching sound effects to make it make you know how it feels to be autistic and like fucking stop it.
And walking through the tourist center of London. Like,
even like blurring the screens, the worst. Like,
what autistic person said this is how they see the world when they, I mean, maybe this is how Cleo described it to production. We don't need the editing effects. It's it's the same thing they're doing with David and like the silent, like muffled noise. It doesn't work. Stop doing it.
Stop. Please stop. So bad.
Please stop.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on
your
podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, "Hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo."
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No,
oh,
dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Kyle, where do you want to start? You want to start with Misha?
Oh, totally. I love her intro little scene where she does the sign of the cross just to really remind you how much she loves Jesus. We got to make sure you're continually reminded every 5 seconds.
Yes, she is. I have just never met a Catholic like this, like praying in public a lot, being very vocal, talking about God all the time. Like, it is weird to me. I guess the Catholics I grew up with were just more subdued and quiet. And, you know, sat in their shame in private.
Every Catholic that we've seen talk about this says how bizarrely performative this is. I mean, she's really behaving like a Seventh-day Adventist or just someone that, like a Southern Baptist or something, you know?
I wonder how the Catholic Church feels about her. Like, do they feel like, oh, yay, we have this hot spokeswoman for this?
No, that's how they feel. Okay. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I will say the one thing that I...
They put an article about her in like their fucking magazine. It was a 4-page article with many pictures of her looking cute. Yeah.
And what was it? In the Catholic Spirit?
Yeah.
April 26th, 2023 edition. April 6th, yeah.
No, they're very happy to have her.
Yeah. I guess I was really shocked this episode how comfortable she and Nicola seemed to be right off the bat.
Right. Yeah, no, this is an example of people, we've seen couples, you know, on this show and Love After Lockup, where they can, doesn't matter if they've been talking for 5 years, it's awkward as fuck when they meet.
Yes.
And it's really, other than him being, you know, look, you can tell that the guy, you know, he's not some Lothario that knows all these moves or something. He definitely is not as passionately affectionate as her. I mean, it's almost more like he's just not as extra as she is. But yeah. I agree with you overall that like it was an enthusiastic meeting. They're not shy around each other. They're going for it.
Yeah. And I mean, she even comments at one point, like, you know, maybe it's a little bit weird for him. Like, for me, I know that I can be affectionate and like cute and know that it's not going to lead to sex. Whereas Nicola's never really been in a relationship. So it's harder for him to show affection, and that could be a problem. But
well, and he'll also, yeah. He also might misinterpret her friendliness and flirtiness as being from literally Beelzebub himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when she's even like touching and grabbing his ass.
I know. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I will say though, coming off the plane, she looked shockingly good. Like,
it's who stupid.
Looks like that coming off a plane. She looks even better with no makeup on, I think. She had like very little makeup on the plane. I was like, God, I think she looks better. But this is, I guess she's flying into Tel Aviv because we see Nicola in a Tel Aviv hotel. He has to be close to the airport to pick her up. But he says later, like, oh, we're not staying with my mom. We're going to Nazareth. Going to stay close to Jesus. Jesus' birthplace the whole time.
My mom is a fucking bitch. So we're going to stay near Jesus. He almost says that straight up.
He says his mom causes too much drama. They definitely can't stay with her. He also hasn't told anybody in his family about Misha, though. This is like a big problem.
His mom has to know about her, but it seems like nobody knows that she's there, which... If you live with your mom and you've never had a job and you just go fishing all day, what's the, can you just say I'm bouncing to Nazareth for a week, peace?
I know. What is she going to think? How does he have money?
And like, we know that she is filmed at some point. Like maybe there was timeline frauding and they filmed this scene later, but we saw a scene with him and his mom.
She's filmed at some point.
Maybe he told her that they're filming a documentary about Jesus and I gotta go film in Nazareth. Who knows? But yeah, weird.
Misha shows up with two of the heaviest suitcases I've ever seen. And I feel like she's only there for like 10 days. They're spending 8 nights in Nazareth. And it doesn't seem like there's any plans past that. So I'm going to go with the 10 days. And like, what is all this stuff that she has?
Kind of shocking that much stuff could fit into those suitcases. She didn't do a Darcy. She didn't have 9 suitcases on a fucking with a pulley system and a cart. There were only 2, right?
Yeah, and she only unpacked 1.
I mean, it's a kind of an amazing feat of engineering.
Why
does she need that much stuff for 2 weeks?
I have no idea. She had like 8 pairs of sandals. It's like, this is not necessary. She clearly has never been on an international trip before.
This guy hasn't touched a woman in 16 years.
Oh my God.
Who is she trying to impress? She's like, this is the thing about Misha. Like, I totally believe that she's sincere about her faith, but obviously, but a lot of this feels like I just really, really want to be on TV.
I agree, especially because she's so hesitant to like commit to Nicola's like, let's get married tomorrow. And she's like,
I mean, that's the logical thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's not wrong. But, man, this is someone that was literally on TV relatively recently. And it kind of feels like it's a little bit of, I'm not making enough money with the church. I need to get my ass back on the screen. I don't know.
Maybe. It was even like her interaction.
It's all God's
like
plan.
When Nicola like interacts with the hotel clerk and she's like, why are you giving this hotel clerk so much information? And then she kind of feels a little embarrassed. It kind of seems like she's a little embarrassed. And she says in her ITM, like, I'm just realizing that Nicola, like being a 46-year-old virgin, virgin is going to be like a little awkward. Like she's just you now just realizing
that now.
Yeah.
After 7 years.
Yeah. So I don't know, but the suitcase explosion, what did he like left for 30 minutes to find wine and he comes back and there is just shit. They need a way bigger room. There's right. stuff all over the room. Packed full. Twin beds. Love that it's twin beds. So funny.
I imagine a lot of people make pilgrimages to Nazareth, but maybe they're not used to people bringing their entire wardrobe. Usually it's a it's a maybe a bit of a more of a humbled experience, you know?
She's like not, Celine Dion.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was great.
Like it's an incredibly dated reference. It's so amazing.
I know. Also, yeah, I just like he's old.
This fucking dude hasn't been outside for 20 years, Kim. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I love the suitcase explosion. She's like, what? She's like, you just, you know, he accepts it pretty much immediately. Like, she's quirky, but I love her. And, you know, Nicola, he's living the dream once she gets that annulment, which apparently is fake because they were married in a civil ceremony. So you don't have to seek a Catholic church annulment in that scenario, it seems.
Well, so that I don't think so. Like what I was getting at last week is that because her first wedding wasn't Catholic, it can be trivially annulled, but they still have to do it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not like a will they, won't they. And also someone pointed out in our Facebook group that you can literally just buy one if you don't meet any of the other criteria.
What? An organized religious organization makes you pay to have services done?
What is that called? What is that called in Catholicism? There's an entire term for it.
Like tithing?
No. Like I think they ended this practice, but back in the day, like hundreds of years ago, you could literally just buy your way to heaven.
Oh.
This was a whole thing.
I don't know.
Back in, this was a huge deal. The entire movie Dogma, like, dealt with this too. Fuck. Sorry. There's going to be a whole thing about it. I apologize.
Well, no, it's referred to as indulgences.
Right. Yes. Indulgence. Yep.
Yeah, a concept in Catholicism that originated in the medieval period.
Yeah. So basically, rich people can get into heaven. Super cool. Yeah.
Great.
Really worked
Anything
out.
Anything else about these two? We didn't see a whole lot, but I am like excited to continue watching them. I think they're funny.
I just can't believe that she thinks this dude is hot. But
I can't.
God's plan, et cetera. Maybe those two sons really blinded her.
It got to her brain. I guess Gino and Jasmine are next. This is pretty heavy hitters to be covering this early, but let's do it. I mean, hot take. I don't like the luxury apartment. I would prefer to be in some like Panama City neighborhood on the ground floor, cute, looking around, having food stalls nearby. I don't like this like skyscraper downtown vibe.
If you're from Panama, maybe it's different, but
yeah,
I don't know. In terms of like, if you're just visiting, I understand what you mean. Am I insane, or is Jasmine like kind of reasonable? I don't know. Like she seems to be like very quickly coming back to the table and trying to reconcile. She apologizes. She's already apologized to him a couple times for being a little bit too crazy, but she's honestly less crazy than last season, which is a wild thing to say.
Except for the morphing of like her face, which I feel like her face changes every
it does.
Time she's filmed. It's wild.
So took a blue pill. She woke up with a boner in her back, but he couldn't jizz because he got tired. No. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting his dick to be hard, but he gave me the meat that I wanted, but he couldn't orgasm. So out of breath.
This is great. This is great TV. You know,
it really is. I had laughed so hard. Seventh time in 2.5 years of dating that they've had sex.
He got her a travel pocket, also called a purse.
No, no. This is like one of those super dorky like pockets that you put. Like, no, you put it like under your jeans. Like you put it around your waist and then you put it under your clothes. So like people can't pickpocket you easily. They were really popular in like the 90s. I didn't actually know these even existed anymore.
Okay.
Awesome. Really super, super dorky. And yeah. There's no, she lost this because she didn't want to wear it like a dork. And he, don't forget, he also bought her $300 box of hair.
And this is coming from a man who believes that a toothbrush is an excellent gift. So
that's true.
I forgot like, that. Do you remember the story with Jasmine's hair? We don't need to get into it, but like all of her hair is fake, I believe. And there's like some reason for this. Like she has alopecia or something. I can't remember.
No, she doesn't have alopecia because she's using hair extensions and not a wig. So she has natural. I think she's just like, I don't remember what the story was, but like you have to have natural hair to attach an extension to.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that her current hair costs her $3,500, like
it's not,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but given that this is not like some glam thing for her. Like this is like, she doesn't have a lot of hair anymore because of some reason. And this is like, obviously really, really important to her. So
I don't remember. You may be being a little bit generous. I think it might be a little bit of glam thing, but I don't remember specifically. We'll have to look it up. But yeah, I do remember that her hair like wasn't as plentiful as it used to be, which is true of like any woman that ages, you know, any person.
Sure.
Like people generally lose hair as they get older.
There's a bit of a spar about budget and Gino just withers immediately and he can't even use words. He's like, he can articulate himself on camera in the ITM afterward. But he is so scared of her that most of the time he can't get out his weird thoughts on camera. But then we get to like the big thing, which is it's time in episode 4 to talk pre-nush.
Kyle, I've been working every single day since 1993 and I've invested, you know, I have invested my money and I've worked so hard. And what are you talking about? And I'm super in love with you and you're super cool. In love with me. And we'll be together forever. And, but we're going to last forever. But in case something happens outside.
Is this going to be about the fact that you literally destroyed my career?
What do you think about a prenup?
Fuck you 100 times. Fuck you.
So not keen on it.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go very well, did it?
Immediately takes off her engagement ring. I did find that a little surprising. Yeah.
We are no longer engaged. I'm taking it off. Yeah.
It's almost as though they've discussed this many times before and she has made it clear it is not okay with her.
Over the years... How many pre-nush conversations have we seen on this show?
Oh, my God. 17?
Yeah. 50. I think in this scenario, I got to be on the side of you better fucking get a prenup, dude. Yeah, you have to.
This is what's even funnier. It's like he's in the bedroom talking about the prenush and why he needs one and she can hear him.
I know, he's right there.
You fucking talking about me?
I mean, yeah, you, I mean, I'm right here. The camera crew's here.
It's so funny to me. And like the fact that Jasmine sleeps in a whole ass different room. Is Where's her sister?
I know.
I'm like, where is the sister? Is she witnessing this? Did they make her leave because Jasmine wanted to hope to get the meat, you know, that she was hoping for? Like, I don't know. But like, while she's sleeping in another room, Gino, trying to save the relationships, writes this proposal down, which is, I think, roughly, if he initiates divorce, she will get the highest financial protection. If she initiates divorce, she gets nothing. But if she cheats, she also gets nothing, even if he initiates the divorce.
So basically,
what?
The only scenario where Jasmine gets money is if he divorces her and leaves her stranded in a foreign country, or he cheats on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no accounting for neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, none of that.
Nope.
Just can't divorce him. Just if he cheats, even though he can't get his dick hard and has to jack off in a bathroom all the time. If this man cheats, then again, so this is the it's like Gino. The funny thing about this is Gino honestly believes that he's being charitable here.
Oh, he is. This guy's delusional.
Yeah.
And I actually felt a little bit for Jasmine when she was like, yeah, I've been divorced before. And I was left with fucking nothing except the clothes on my back. And I'm not even going to entertain this conversation. She's like, don't even waste your breath. I don't want to talk about it. If you want a prenup, we're not getting married, period. And I was like, damn, this is a hard line she's setting here.
Yeah.
She tells Gino to get out of the apartment.
I mean, I see both sides. I mean, from her perspective, she's like, you caused me to have not just financial insecurity in the short term, but if our relationship doesn't work out, I'm going to be financially destitute because of you.
Yeah.
Unless I completely change my career and reinvent myself. You know, social media followers from 90 Day notwithstanding. And from his perspective, I mean, fucking come on. Come on. Do you really need to explain why you need a prenush? And it seems like it's a vast like cultural difference. I don't think this is a thing.
I don't think every
time that a prenup comes up and it's in a Central or Southern American country, they are fucking baffled by this idea. It's enraging to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it is for a lot of people here too, but they always relent, don't they? I mean, I can't remember. Someone gives up and it's usually the person demanding the prenup giving up.
I can't remember anyone ever signing a prenup except the teenager that married that super, super old piano guy.
Yeah.
What was her name? Mark and Nikki.
Yeah.
She signed it. And anyway, yeah, the Jasmine, this is where things get dark. Like after Gino tries to talk calmly with her about this new proposal, which is absurd and like, again, written on a napkin, she just starts screaming at him that she gets along better with her exes than Gino. Her exes are hotter than Gino. Her exes don't have sex problems like Gino, and her exes have more money than Gino.
And are younger.
And Gino says, you're the worst sexual person in the world, which I thought was fucking hilarious. It just makes no sense. I don't know what it means. I don't know.
What is that? She constantly wants to fuck you. I mean, I somehow have a hard time believing that Jasmine is like a dead fish in bed or something. How does it make the worst sexual person in the world? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's so wild. But he poses the question, why aren't you with your ex then? And I'm like, that is a great question. Why aren't you with your ex? Because if I'm putting these two side by side, I would say go for that guy that we saw earlier in the season. He looks way better than Gino and just generally better looking, richer, I don't know. Seems like the better catch to me. These two are just, I know some people don't like them. I think they're great casting. I just think they're so dumb.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
All right. Let's talk about Riley real quick. I don't have a ton on this dude. I mean, it was, I guess we saw them meet. We saw Riley meet Violet. And again, they seem pretty comfortable with each other. I think it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, the airport meeting was fine. They have their little stupid jokes, but okay. You know, sure.
Weird, yeah.
Whoever touches the feather first loses. Okay. Didn't know it was middle school, but that's fine. She seems nervous. They're joking around. I mean, honestly, they're joking around. It's really nerdy, but it's kind of cute. The airport meeting was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just seems really enamored. She brings him flowers. It was really nice. And apparently, they're not even staying in separate rooms at the hotel. They're staying, like, she's staying at home and he is staying, like, in this hotel.
Yeah.
Is that what you gathered? Like, I don't know, because, you know, it was weird. We'll see. He says, like, oh, she comes knocking on my room, but I'm like, is she even staying there? Because we see her get in a cab later.
Right. I wonder if she couldn't get childcare.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think. It just, I don't know. It was strange. But my favorite part of this that I thought was really funny is I think that he genuinely made an honest kind of mistake. He got her a pearl bracelet and then she's like, oh, cool. And then in an ITM, she basically says that pearls aren't shit in Vietnam. Nobody gives a fuck. They're just like around. Like you just find a pearl in the gutter, you know?
It was so funny about the pearls. Yeah, he thinks he bought her this like super fancy gift. And she's like, we farm pearls all up and down the coast of Vietnam. I don't even like pearls. These are like not rare here.
They're
at
not even
all.
Good.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Where'd you fucking get these? Louisiana? God.
And he totally got her the full set, like the bracelet, the necklace, the earrings. And he thinks it's such a great gift. Pearls are like a little old school. Like to get like a string of pearls, like, I don't know. It's not something you would buy your wife, is it? I don't know.
No. She would think I was getting her like a grandma gift.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe Riley's old school, but
what am I going to go fucking like look in the go searching for in the Titanic tomorrow? Like, what are you doing?
So, but otherwise, like they do sensible things. They get back to the hotel. They take showers. They get dressed for a nice dinner. He doesn't seem super tired from the flight. Like they still go to dinner, and then she just kind of like. They have this conversation, which they teased a lot in the preview, which is
massive preview frauding. Massive.
Yeah. Turned out to be a big nothing burger, but she's like, yeah, I got to work tomorrow. And he's like, okay.
Oh, shit. Bummer. Okay. He's like barely even mad. The preview it seem like he was pounding the table and like screaming and cursing about it.
Right? He doesn't. He's like, we can tell from the next time on that he gets like increasingly irritated about this. But in this particular scene, she's like, yeah, I have like a work thing. She says she has a mission with school and we know she's a math teacher.
Yeah.
And Riley's kind of like, all right. She's like, if you want to meet me at night, he's like, yeah, I want to meet you whenever I can. But I mean, maybe if she's a teacher, maybe she can't take vacation. Again, right. Why didn't they discuss this?
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like, the expectations are clearly wildly off here. But these two talk all the time, and maybe they're surface level and they joke a lot around, but then again, like Riley feeling like he needs to hire a private investigator is not a really good sign of their communication skills, you know? So yeah. I don't know. But it, yeah, you would think that you would really think that something as simple as I need to freaking work while you're going to be here, just FYI, would have been not a shock to him.
Yeah, it's really strange. I also just feel like maybe this is the healthier way to do it. You know, I mean, we always see these relationships
just flip each other off, just give each other the finger all the time.
Well, no, but we see people spending like 24/7 with somebody they've been talking to for years, but have never seen. Like, maybe it is better to ease into it, have dinner, have a little like anticipation for the next night and dinner, and then like build up to it rather than, okay, we're going to have dinner and then we're going to go straight back to the hotel and you're going to listen to me take a dump. And then we're going to go to bed, maybe not have sex because I'm not comfortable. And then we'll wake up in the morning and you're going to smell my morning breath. And like, I just met you, you know?
You have to admit, though, most of the couples that are successful on Before the 90 fuck immediately and a lot.
That's true. Yeah, they do. But she made it clear that it's like not cool to stay in the hotel with him, right? Like, because in Vietnam, that's not accepted. So, but then she gets in a cab to go home. So again, I'm unclear if she's like staying in the hotel the rest of the week. It's just, I don't know. They don't really say.
Let's talk about David for 10 seconds. These two are banging, right?
These two are banging for sure. These two are getting the hero edit every time. Yeah. I mean, we only see a very short scene. I mean, it's a long, these two have a lot of filler content. It's kind of suspicious. Like, she's going to spend a couple days with David in the hotel somewhere. And, you know, that we see a lot of like airport footage of him getting to, you know, getting there and whatnot. But really, all we see is their greeting, which I actually thought was really emotional.
It was super sweet. And she, for some reason, I thought that she wouldn't. I don't remember why. Maybe this just was a part of the preview. I really didn't think that she was going to learn much American Sign Language, but she knows some. They're not going to be completely unable to communicate with each other.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Scott and Lydia situation.
Right. I mean, she immediately knows how to bust out the phone and say some words. She says the words in English into the phone, which I thought was interesting too, because the phone can... I assume the phone can translate Vietnamese into English text. It wasn't like the phone was showing the signs like at the bar. They can talk. They understand how to use a phone translator. Wild.
Incredible.
Wild stuff.
Yeah. She also like figured out childcare. She's like, sorry, son, going on a bank trip, leaves her kid with her parents so she can, you know, go with David. But again, she says they're spending a couple of days or a few days like in the hotel. And so it feels like David's going to come back and stay with her in her house.
That's when the drama's actually going to start, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it does feel like there are a ton of people in the airport, like watching them. She's crying when they're embracing.
Right.
And they're really excited to go back to the hotel right away and bang it out. And so I don't know. I guess there's hope for them.
You want to talk Amanda or Christian first?
Let's talk Amanda, get it out of the way, and then we'll do Cleo last.
Amanda and Pancake Man.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, again, like, he is still, I think, being very patient and trying to be understanding. I understand why he doesn't want to argue with her. This is day two. Just see if you even freaking like each other without the baggage and then kind of go into the drama, right? I mean, I get where he's coming from.
I just feel like this entire storyline is so boring. We need a massive pivot. Like, let's bring Darcy on the scene. This guy is perfect for her. And then we can, like, boot Amanda out and have Razvan and Darcy create a social media empire together. That is the outcome I'm looking for.
That's genius. That's genius. I know. And let's just see what, let's see what happens. It's going to be interesting, I think. The only thing I can see interesting coming up is she's been so cold to him. She's been like downright mean to him sometimes. She's super boring. She's a wet blanket. But then I guarantee she's going to lose her freaking mind during this music video shoot. So like, which is it? Are you aloof and you just treat him like shit? Or are you madly in love with him and can't stand the thought of him being with another woman? Because nothing she's doing would ever make like any man with any self-respect drawn to her more, right?
No, I don't understand it at all. She's so boring. I think she's different in private. I think this is part of the like immaturity, is that she's doing this thing where she's like, oh, you know, I don't care about you, I don't like you. But I think when the cameras are off and they're in private, I think she's like, I really like you. As evidenced by the hickey, still there.
Because it's day two.
Yeah. I think she like is really into him when it's just the two of them and no cameras. And I think she's trying to play it cool and coy when the cameras are rolling, like, whatever. I guess she wants it to appear like he is after her so hard. And this is it's just like an immature game to play.
I agree. I mean, it's almost like she's thinking like, well, what if my boys watch this in a few years and hate their mom?
Yeah, I could see that playing into it, too. I mean, he is pushing her to tell her kids about their relationship and she's like, absolutely not. So,
but like, this is the same fucking person who just literally 2 days ago before she flew there, she was telling, like, lest we forget, she was telling her fucking sister that she was hoping for an engagement.
So I know.
Again, like, which is it?
I know. It doesn't make any sense. She won't even eat a pancake from his mouth as a joke. She's like so uncomfortable with him on camera. It's like alarming. What has she eaten? Like, what has she eaten the whole time they've been there? She won't eat shellfish, any fish, because not tuna, packaged food, dairy, waffles in a bag, pancakes. Like, what? Food is just better in Europe. I don't know about Romania specifically, but it's just better. I mean, the GMO thing I get, but like, Europe has such less GMO food than the States. Like, she's just going to be better off in general. And like, I don't understand if these are dietary restrictions based on like medical diagnoses or if this is just
allergies
her.
Or
Like, it just seems like, I mean, he says she's just picky and she doesn't say, oh, I can't eat dairy, I'm lactose intolerant, or like, I have celiac. Like, she's just like, I don't like waffles in bags. And it's like, okay, cool. But you're traveling and you're staying at somebody's house. What has she eaten in 2 days, Kyle? Maybe she's just hangry and that's why she's being mean.
That would make a lot of sense. This is one of those things that, you know, we've talked about before. It's like, it's a sign of immaturity, I think, when all you can do is tell someone in a shitty tone what you don't want, but you never tell them what you actually do want. Like, instead of like, I want to eat that. Like, fine. Like, all, like I said at the beginning of this, of the episode, all of these dietary restrictions, like, are fine. Like, who cares? Eat whatever you want. Sure. Like, I actually don't even think this list necessarily even means that she's a picky eater, because all of them could be explained totally rationally, but she's not telling him what she actually wants. Like, can we just have like a chicken salad or something? Oh, that looks good. Let's get that. Like, it's none of that. It's just like, meh, you don't remember that when I don't like crab. Like, okay, I just saw you for the first time 2 days ago. Like, if you're on the phone with someone that you've never seen before, I mean, I could see tuning out that kind of stuff because it's boring.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. Like, she's not saying, like, I talk about this all the time. Like, don't tell me what not to do. Like, tell me what to do. She doesn't say, let's make some mashed potatoes. She's just a fucking wet blanket. She sucks. She complains about the birds at the park. She thinks there's bats. I just don't even know like what to say about this. It's going to be 10 more episodes of Amanda complaining.
Right. I mean, it's kind of awkward to sit there while someone is clearly having a conversation about you in another language. I get it. But why can't his summary of what they talked about? Like, I don't know. She's pissed off at him all the time for almost no reason. I feel like it just didn't seem like that big of a deal to me.
I know. Like, this is, I mean, I think I mentioned this last week when we were talking about the next time on, but if you are going to date someone who speaks a different language than you as their native language
in their own country,
in their own fucking country, and he's talking to someone who doesn't speak English, yeah, he's going to speak Romanian and he's not going to sit there and translate every goddamn line for you. Like, what are you expecting? It's just so dumb. Like, yeah, and they're probably going to talk about you because you're visiting and they're talking about the music video and he already asked you to be in the music video and you said absolutely not. So,
you know, you might be shocked to learn that you don't have to be an actor to just be in a music video looking hot.
Oh, my God.
What,
right?
Are there going to be, is this going to be like fucking a Tariq music video where she's going to have lines and there's going to be like a 5-minute intro that makes no fucking sense?
It's so dumb. And
I'm not an actor. Just say that you're fucking camera shy and you don't want to do it.
Is it surprise anyone that Amanda doesn't want to indulge in a new experience?
God, I know, right? Live your goddamn life. You've been sheltered forever. Do something that makes you an interesting person that you have a story about.
Except go to see this dude in Romania and give him hickeys and like eat a bite of a pancake in 48 hours, but nothing else.
So many reasons to be jealous.
Ugh, dude, you met him on Instagram or TikTok by sending him gifts through the internet.
Literally, you met him by being thirsty. So, like, yes. Come on. How do you not know this is the deal?
I just don't get it. It's like meeting a doctor when you go to the ER and then complaining that he works late. Like, yeah.
No, this is like dating a gynecologist and telling him you can't look at pussy anymore. Fuck off.
The one thing that was telling is Rosman says, oh, you know, like, I've been really trying really hard to get this visibility. And, you know, this music video is really important to me. Like, this guy is definitely like gunning hard for his career. That's the only reason he's on this show. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, big surprise, but I don't know. It's just, it's suspicious.
And then the last thing that pissed me off is she starts to play this stupid game where it's like, well, you do whatever you want in your actions will tell me like what I need to know. Again,
shut it's like, up.
It's 17-year-old shit. Stop it.
Yeah, it's really bad. Anyway, there. Yeah, she again, I said at the beginning, I'll say it again. She talks to Rasvan and acts the way she acts around him is how I acted in like 8th or 9th grade. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really unsettling.
So new I think couple. All
we, yeah, new couple. All we have left is Cleo and Christian. It's a lot. Yeah. I don't like the way this is being produced. I'm very nervous. They got it right with Gabe and now they're getting everything wrong. What did you think about them waiting?
They're going to fuck this up. They're
already fucking it up. What did you think about them not? Because when we read the cast bios and we did kind of the preview for the season, we knew that there was an autistic trans woman on the season. And then, you know, we didn't see her in the first three episodes. So when she appears this episode, we know who she is. But maybe some viewers that aren't obsessed with the show as us didn't know. But were they trying? I was like, are they trying to hide the fact that she's trans, or is it just something they're not going to talk about at all?
Yeah, I was wondering if they were just going to not bring it up. You know, in the context of that first scene when we meet Cleo, I guess it's not relevant. So I don't know. I kind of forgave them for that, but I guess maybe people could see it as like, well, they want to build it up for shock value or something later. You know, that TLC would do some shit like that.
Yeah. I was worried about that. And I was like, this is bad, bad, bad. And it made me nervous the whole time watching her because I don't know. I think it, like, she is an interesting character. You know, we haven't seen an autistic cast member, or at least a cast member that was open about being autistic and talking about it. And I thought it was really weird that we, like, break the fourth wall right off the bat, too.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting. That so basically, like, Cleo is walking down the middle of London, which, you know, I guess if you're really are a model, you got to live in big cities, and London is one of those. It's just, it's unfortunate that if she's forced to live there, I mean, she lives in, like, probably the worst place, one of the worst places imaginable for her, her audiovisual sensitivity.
I don't know how. So let's talk about Christian for a second. Christian describes himself as the life of the party, the Halloween party that they show. Yeah, never a good sign.
Fucking Geminis, you know?
This is Caleb 2.0. You're totally right. And he just, but this party that he's at, I'm like, there are five other people here. You have a keg of Natty Light. And you're just, like, dancing around in a costume, like
around like a bonfire. It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I know you're in Minnesota and everything, and that's probably what you do, but it just doesn't seem like there's seven people here. This is, and also going to London is very low stakes. This is not a big life-changing thing.
Totally. Yeah, London. This whole thing's like, these are the best kind of storylines, though. There's no stakes at all. There's no kids. They're both young. Like, they're flying on, they can fly on, like, Delta for $400, you know?
The only stakes are that Cleo is trans, and they have the cringiest conversation between this dude, Christian, and his friends, where he has to say he tried to make out, this is irrelevant information. I tried to make out with a guy in college, and I'm heterosexual AF. And I'm like, not relevant to anything we're discussing here. And the female friend says, but you weren't attracted to men. I'm like, what man are we talking about? Because Cleo is a woman. What if she has some boobies up front and a dick down low? Dude, just don't talk anymore.
Close.
Shut the fuck up.
Close your fucking mouth, bro. Like, and the thing that's frustrating is I really think that none of these people believe them in themselves that they're transphobic. They're just really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And maybe they've never met a trans person in their life. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt, but usually I have a good nose for when people are horrific homophobes and transphobes. And I think that these people are just super ignorant.
Yeah.
And I think, to his credit, he does like I said before, I think he does a decent job. Like, I don't hate Christian at all yet. He seems like he's just kind of a Caleb party boy, kind of probably kind of a douche. But here's the thing. Like, this storyline, I think, is going to end up being very upsetting.
I'm really worried about it. I was worried to talk about this, like, conversation between these friends. This is just, like, it was so, I was cringing the whole time. I was, like, verbally being like, oh, God, no.
Have they
had
gender confirmation surgery yet? Like, dude.
Come on.
Stop pretending that those words have ever come out of your mouth before today. you know?
Yeah, I know. And it was like really upsetting then to see that scene and then hear Cleo talk about like her struggles as a kid. Like she was already autistic and like adding trans to that seemed just so overwhelming. And her friend Jane that she meets at the vintage store, you know, she's seen her go through this whole journey for years. And Cleo just hasn't, you know, she talks about the surgeries that she could have. She's been transitioning for 9 years. She's, you know, taking the meds and the hormones, but she just hasn't. It sounds like she hasn't found the right surgeon yet to like help her with some of the surgeries she wants to do.
Shit's expensive too. I mean, I'm not really sure how gender affirming care is dealt with the NHS. We're probably going to learn more about that. I just don't know. But so this storyline, I think, is going to be rough because I think it's going to be painfully similar to Caleb and Alina. I don't think that he really understands how her neurodivergence affects her on a day-to-day basis. And he's going to try, I think he's honestly going to give a really big effort to try to deal with it. And it's going to be overwhelming for him. I don't even think, I mean, I honestly believe that her being trans won't really be that big of a deal in the grand scheme of the storyline with their romance. I think it's more gonna be they've been chatting online. I think they're being big jokers online. They seem like both into meme culture and they're both on Reddit all day, I'm sure. And when they get together, I'm sure that Cleo has told him, hey, you know, I have really hard time with like sensory overload and blah, 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 but he doesn't understand what that actually means. And it's just going to be, I think the reason why it's concerning to me is in the first scene, Cleo, I think understandably relates a lot of her day-to-day experiences and how she deals with the world back to her autism. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that not every single thing that they talk about over text has to do with her autism. It's going to be shocking to him.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Like he wants to be at a party and out socially all the time. Remember when Caleb wanted to do all the, you know, physical activities and Alina was like, I can't walk for more than 15 minutes at a time. And I think it's going to be like that. Like, I think you're right.
Right.
Overall thoughts on the episode?
You know, Gino, Jasmine, Misha, like really funny and entertaining. Everyone else, I don't know. David seems like an actual love story. Riley is a fucking twat. And Amanda sucks. I don't know. I think the season has picked up, but it's still like 50-50 for me. I am very nervous about this Cleo and Christian storyline. And not even because they individually are bad people or something. It's just, I don't know. I don't trust TLC.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I am nervous about the Cleo and Christian situation, but the season has picked up for me. I think that Gino and Jasmine are fucking hilarious. I kind of like shitting on Amanda and Rosman a little bit, I have to admit. And yeah, just overall, I enjoyed the episode. Misha and Nicola as well. I just think it's going to be really interesting to see how they continue to interact throughout the season. So that's it for today. We'll see you next week for episode 5. Thanks, everybody.